Hello.
Welcome to the Book Club Haters Book Club,
a podcast where we discuss books we love and otherwise.
I am Tia.
And I am Noor.
And we are your hosts.
Ooh.
I'm trying something new for our introduction.
Nice. So how's your reading so far?
For the past month, which was the month of March, I've not been doing much.
What's the last book you read? I guess.
Okay, wait, let me have a look at my
Goodreads.
We
are not sponsored by Goodreads.
We are not, but we might as well be.
Yeah, Goodreads, please sponsor us.
Okay. Oh, well, what a request. I don't know if they have money for that. So the last book I read, I finished that book, The Curious History of Dating.
How was it?
And I went from very, very interesting to me not being that interested in it. I think it's very research-based, so it feels a bit scholarly, very academic-ish. There's some stuff there that I enjoyed reading, the intricacies of dating, but I mean, it's all right, yeah. I guess.
Did they cite a lot of, like, journals?
Yeah, like not journals, but a lot of newspaper cuttings, a lot of articles. And what's interesting was that back in the 90s to early 2000, we were very hesitant to share our information online. But now we're just happy to give our information very easily to people in that our profiles on any social media, for instance, we always readily have our picture and our full names.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where in the past, it would not have been like that.
Yeah.
So, and it's the same with dating and Tinder too. Like, your name, well, mostly people would be using their, I'm assuming, their real names and pictures.
Not in Brunei, from experience.
Yeah, okay, I mean,
I guess it's constituted in, where is the?
UK, US.
UK, US.
Yeah. Mostly UK. But also in Brunei, I think because we have short for names, that's probably why people don't use their real names.
Oh, no, they use, like, really weird-ass names.
Okay.
Like, their cars, and I'm just like, who the heck is Nissan? I don't know who you are. Why would I swipe on you?
Awangku Audi. Pengiran Hyundai.
You know, the son got money, but the dad.
Yeah. But yeah, that was. I'm having difficulty reading right now, but I want to talk about this with you later. I finished a book that you recommended to me.
Which one?
The Kiss Quotient.
Oh!
By Helen Huang.
I love that book. It was probably my favorite book of last year.
Yeah. I want to know why you love that book. What were we going to do?
I thought we were going to talk about that in, like, another episode. But we can do that, too.
We can do that now.
We can do that.
I'm curious as to why you really liked it.
I am in love with Michael.
The main character?
The hero.
Mm-hmm.
Michael is, like, a decent person. Okay, to be fair, I don't read contemporary romances as much as I do, like, romantic suspense and historical romance.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know what the mold is for contemporary romance heroes, but Michael was the perfect kind of entry point.
Entry point.
Kind of like a gateway contemporary romance hero for me, because he was a decent person, and I feel like I felt like
it's attainable.
This is a person that can be found in real life, maybe.
Have you read Fangirl by Rainbow Rowell?
I have not.
I think you would like. Okay, I have several books where people describe the perfect book boyfriend.
So
Levi from Fangirl is one of them. He is, like, my ideal book boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you should read that. It's a really good book. Like, I love that book so much.
But does he look like, what's he called, Daniel Henney?
Who? Oh, as in he's half Korean like Michael is?
Is Michael half Korean?
He's half Korean.
No.
Oh, no, he's half Vietnamese.
Half Vietnamese.
Yeah.
But he looks like Daniel Henney.
Daniel Henney is half Korean, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe that's why.
I think he's quarter Korean. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway. Gorgeous. Yes.
So is that the only reason why you liked it so much?
No, I felt like it was good representation as well.
Of what?
Of autists. For autists as well. And it was...
because the main character is autistic.
Yeah.
What's her name?
What's her name?
Why are we so bad at remembering women's names?
I'm bad at remembering women's names.
Stella.
That's it. Yeah. I thought she was so sweet, and she was like, I was rooting for her, and oh my god, she's so smart. Mm-hmm. And I guess
that's talking, kind of are you talking about me?
one of those, you know, like, that describes Dia well as well. That's the kind of heroine that I love anyway. So I'm just like, yes, it ticks all of the boxes for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an escort romance. I feel like that's...
Michael is an escort, by the way, which is why people don't call him the perfect book boyfriend, apparently, because he's a hoe. And he's a prostitute. Yeah.
He's the perfect hoe.
He's the perfect hoe.
So, the plot of the book is basically... Oh, wait. Now we're going to discuss the plot. Okay, the plot of the book is that Stella decides that she wants to get better at relationships. And for her, relationships...
No, she wants to be better at sex first.
Yeah, I'm getting there. She wants to get better at relationships. But she thinks that the way to do that is through getting better at sex. So she decides to hire a professional, i.e. an escort, and
i.e. Michael,
the most perfect person ever.
Fictional person.
Yeah. So they meet, sparks kind of fly, and he's like, ooh, she's pretty, and stuff like that, and...
She pretty.
Stuff happens, I guess.
Yeah.
Love happens.
It's a very sexy book. I feel like people keep forgetting that it's a very sexy book. It's a very sexy book.
It's a regularly sexy book.
Really?
Yeah.
It's erotica, though, isn't it?
No, it's not.
What's the difference between erotica and this?
Oh, erotica, the main plot of erotica is the sexual experience of it.
Are you saying there's some sexual...
No, this has more of the romance experience.
Interesting. Don't know the difference between that, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Another book that we both read is A Dangerous Collaboration by Deanna Rayborn.
Oh my god.
The fourth Veronica Speedwell series.
Oh my god.
In the series. What I loved in my experience reading this was I read this much faster than you for once.
For once, yeah. I mean, you're a very fast reader.
And then throughout the whole time I was like, tell me when you get to this chapter. Tell me when you get to this chapter.
Basically, our texts to each other were mostly like,
ah!
And that was it.
It was like, OMG, right? There was no description whatsoever. I'm pretty sure I screenshot all of our conversation throughout that whole.
It was just us shrieking and like no description of like what we were shrieking about,
nope.
But we knew what it was. Page this, page that.
Yeah. It was fun. I mean, like reading that book with you.
It was satisfying. It was honestly a great third book in a series. Anyway, is it third or fourth? It was a great fourth book in a series. Like, there's so much emotional payoff.
It did turn into romance, though, right?
That's why I love it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the book. I think it's a lot of fun. There's not a lot of... The mystery, I felt like, was not that great.
No, I was like, when are we gonna... I mean, come on. When are we gonna get there?
Yeah, but I felt like the book was more concentrated on the relationship between Stoker and Veronica.
Yeah.
And Veronica was an idiot throughout this whole book.
It was great. It was
especially for three books where she's always the smart one.
Yeah, and she was like, oh my god, I don't know. This is like, she was doing some dumb
shit. I really
like
that, you know, because if she had been like this perfect, smart, whatever, super capable woman, I think it's so easy to make her the Mary Sue.
Definitely.
But she isn't.
Yeah.
And I really love her for that. Do you recommend that series? Like, it's a commitment, right? Four books, if people...
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would definitely recommend it now that I have read the fourth book. Because there is a guaranteed payoff now. Like, for real. For real, there is a guaranteed payoff. And that is important for people, including me. Because I was really worried about that. Like, if I was going to get strung along, like, for another five books, maybe.
Right.
I would still read it. But I would be very frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
I felt like reading the third book was very, very frustrating if you're if you just want something to happen.
Yeah, it was really frustrating for me for that book, for the third book. But
it's a build up for the fourth book.
Yeah, definitely. And
did I say firth?
For the fourth book. Yes. Read, what's it called?
A Dangerous Collaboration.
No, the series.
The Veronica Speedwell Mysteries. Yeah.
The Veronica Speedwell Mysteries by Deanna Rayborn. Whoop, whoop. Yay.
How's you? How's your reading?
Well, since then, I've kind of finished, apparently, I finished four books. Wait, I finished A Dangerous Collaboration, and then another four books. And then I just didn't read for the next 3 weeks after that. Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, after our last recording, I read two books very quickly in that week. And then after that, I just felt like, I don't care.
I felt like whenever we record, I feel this, like, drive to, like, read more.
But no, I think it might just also be there are no books that I'm super interested in on my shelf right now.
For real.
I'm trying to finish up the books on my to-be-read shelf as much as I can. But none of the books are... It's not the right time for me to read it right now. Mm-hmm. As in, I'm interested in them, but now's not the time for them.
Right, yeah, I get you. So some books, you know, they have their time.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you to love them.
So. Yeah, so that's a bit complicated right now because it's kind of tempting me to buy more books, but at the same time, I don't really know what I want to read.
Yeah, I feel like April is actually a great time to buy books because there's a lot of books that are releasing in April usually. April is a really popular time to release books. And April and May and June, yeah.
So, like, summer reading?
Yeah, spring towards summer.
I see. Yeah. Isn't that very catering to the northern hemisphere?
Yeah, I mean, unless you read, like, Australian-based books.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or South African. America.
South American. Oh, yeah. Do they have seasons?
Yeah.
I thought it was just, like, tropical like ours.
South Africa?
No, South America.
South America, I think. Yeah, the one. If you go bawah a bit some more.
Okay, bawah a bit some more.
I don't know. I mean.
Okay.
I've never been there. Don't really have much opinion on it. But yeah.
I read this.
Highlights.
Or lowlights, I guess.
Okay, lowlight.
Two good books, two bad books. So.
How does that make you feel?
Reading. I finished.
You don't have to tell me what the books are, but. How is that like?
Oh God, finishing a not for me book is excruciating. Is honestly,
it not for you book right now. I thought not for you book ever.
Ever, because they really do not hit any of my
interests.
Mm-hmm. And also, one of them was just really bad writing, and I was really disappointed because one of my favorite authors. So one of my favorite authors, Sarah McLean, she has a podcast called Faded Mates, where she talks about basically romance novels that she loves, and she keeps on bringing up this one novel almost every episode of the podcast, and she has it on her website as a recommendation. So I've been searching high and low. It's not on Amazon Kindle. I hate her for this.
Oh God.
And then I found it on Kobo and it was $11.99 and Kobo doesn't have returns. So I wasted a bunch of money, more than I usually do, on a book that I genuinely disliked for I really liked it for a third of the way, and then after that it just went downhill and went like, what the fuck is going on? So that was a waste of my time.
I wonder if I do that with my reading that often, that I read bad books and I don't know.
And what?
And then just, you know, I feel like I wasted my time. I mean, there are a few books that I feel like wasted my times, but if I read books that are just not really for me, I just go power through it, unless it's something that I feel very vehemently against.
The issue is that I paid a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but yeah, I guess.
And then the author is, like, somebody that I really like as well. And then another author that I really like recommended it. So I felt like, okay, maybe there's, like, something along the way. But then until the end, it was frustrating.
There was a book that was recommended by some of my favorite authors. And then I read it. I felt like it was kind of subpar. And that book was not on Kobo. I couldn't find it, like, online, like, for Brunei Punya region.
Right.
And so I had to buy it, a physical copy. Physical copies are very expensive.
They are.
So I'm like, and then I read it, I'm like, oh, God.
It was a waste of money.
I can't believe I've been fooled.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, and you put in effort to, like, look for it.
Yeah. Ugh. Because I had to go to, I mean, I was in Singapore to buy it, so I'm like, but I guess it's fine. I mean, the difference between you and me is that I have set amount of money per month to buy books and you don't.
I don't do that anymore. Yeah. Oh, I did finish, I finally finished The Kingdom of Copper, which is the second book in the Devabhat series.
Woohoo!
I hate Thea for making me finish it. She taunted me as in like, finish it, you coward. Yeah. And I'm like, dang it.
I saw that you were not updating your Goodreads at all, and I'm like, finish it, you coward. You have to finish it. Because I know you just don't want to finish it.
I don't want to finish it.
Why didn't you want to finish it?
I know in trilogies, based on like, I used to read a lot of high fantasy. So, and you, if they're in a trilogy, the second book is when shit blows up and like truly, truly goes downhill, topsy-turvy. And you're just, like, you're left lost.
What were you going to do, like, if you're not going to read it? Wait until next year when the third book...
Wait until next year! Until the third book is, like, looming.
I think rereading the books is going to be very satisfying, though.
I hope so!
Yeah, because I'm...
Actually, no, I know it is. The writing is very good.
Yeah, because the second book, immediately after I finished it, I was like, I really want to read this book again immediately. But I didn't. I'm going to do it again at some point this year. And I think I'm going to read it like 2 more times before the next book comes out.
Great.
In January. I love it so much though. Like I love it.
I love the second book. I think the second book was such a step up from the first book.
Yeah.
In terms of writing and the like the pacing.
Tonally is very different too, because I felt the first book was very YA writing.
Because the characters grew up.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like, yeah, that's true. It's 5 years into the future.
Yeah, that's why. Was that not the case with Harry Potter?
Not 5 years, like per year. He was still like 17 when the book ended.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay.
Still kind of YA.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. Yay, I'm glad you finished it. Lol.
I'm great. I'm glad too, I guess.
What do you think? What do you like about it so much?
Oh my god. What do I say? I really love how layered the characters are, particularly well, everybody actually. Yeah. Even like the side characters, you think you know them.
Yeah.
You don't. And I honestly, I just want to pay tribute to Dara, who basically, I knew from the first page of the first book that when we met him, that he was going to break my heart. And I was still like, I was still strung. I'm like, I know he's going to break my heart, but I just love him. And then like, things just kept happening and he kept doing things. And I was just like, I know, but I love him.
So someone made a poll on Twitter. Huh? Like, which one do you choose, Dara or Ali? And then Shannon, who's the writer, said, whatever it is, I'm always on Team Nari.
Yeah.
And then I tweeted her and I said, I like that what you can do is how one chapter I can like Ali and Dara and the next I absolutely hate them.
Mm.
But I'm always on Nari's side
throughout
the whole thing.
It's true.
You don't find a female character that layered and that likable from beginning to end. Because I've also read like a lot of YA fantasy and stuff, and sometimes you just absolutely hate, like there's a point where you hate the woman character or any character, to be honest,
because you just like don't understand like why they're doing this.
Yeah, but Nari is so consistent in her goodness. She's great.
Oh, and my baby Muntadir, can we do like
Muntadir, which is Ali's brother, he is so great in this book.
Muntadir, I love him. I want him as a husband. He's a book husband.
Yeah.
He's a book husband.
You're right, yeah.
And Alize, I don't know. Alize is great. I love him. He's my boy. He's my child. Like, I want to protect him from the world, but also
he needs slap to grow
him upside
up.
The head. Like, just like, Chupa, you know, like, think things through. No, don't just jump into things. He's great.
Yeah. I love the series so much, though.
Ugh.
Do you have anything else that you want to say? Are we done with this section?
I guess we're done, yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
Welcome to Genre Talk.
Oh, God.
DM me, we do that. What's our genre for this time?
Our genre for this week is fairy tale retellings.
Woo!
Do you read a lot of fairy tale retellings? Because I seem to do that a lot.
You know, I thought when you talked about it a few weeks ago, like last month, I was thinking, do I really read a lot of fairy tale retellings? I feel like I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But then I look at my previous, my reading, and yeah, apparently
it's
I do.
A lot, right?
Yeah. A lot.
I don't realize it, but I feel like I keep buying into these books.
It's those, I think we're just like curious about how they'll spin the fairy tale elements mm-hmm. into the story.
Okay, wait, do you like this genre?
Depends. I think I hate it if they try to make it edgy.
Okay, that's a very interesting thing. Like, they want to make it gritty, right?
Yeah.
Like, very sexual, very violent. Mm. But a lot of these stories are from Grimm Brothers.
And they are violent.
And they are violent. They are sexual in, not in nature, but in, like, in its writing.
Yeah.
And, but, have you ever read Grimm Brothers, though?
No. So I know the gist of it.
Okay, so I read Grimm Brothers when I was younger, mm-hmm. and I really, really liked it, because it was gritty, because it was edgy. Mm. But I liked it, not because I liked it, but they were very short stories.
Mm, they weren't like, too complex, were they?
They were not. They were fairy tales, basically. Mm. They're meant to scare kids. And then, but also, apparently, fairy tales of that time, not just Grimm Brothers, but also fairy tales like from Italy, from Europe, mostly, they're meant for adults.
Mm, that's
so whatever shortened version that you know of Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, or Cinderella,
mm-hmm.
they've been Disneyfied to cater for
kids,
a children audience.
Mm.
Yeah. So when people say, "Oh, why are they making Maleficent stuff like that?" Maleficent was made. The movie was not made for children. They're made for adults.
Ooh, okay.
So it kind of reverts back to how fairy tale was in the past.
That's interesting. Mm. I've never watched Maleficent, so...
I didn't either.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what it's really
but yeah,
about.
Like, it's quite violent. I don't know. I think there might have been rape in it. I'm not sure. Like, I didn't watch it.
Yeah. I think what I know of Maleficent comes from Tumblr posts.
Right.
Yeah.
In that she's a queen.
In that she...
is a victim, right?
There was a she was a victim, but I'm like, okay, I didn't watch it, so
right?
Anymore.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, let's talk about fairy tale retelling books then. Do you have any that you like?
I realize the bulk of the fairy tale retellings that I read are from comics and manga. Comics, okay. Basically, like the one thing is like fables.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay, so you really like fables.
I like fables.
Why? Okay, you're wrong. You love fables.
Okay. I love fables.
What about... Okay, let's talk about the things we hate first, and then we'll move on to fables. Is that okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Why do you hate the stuff that you hate?
Like, the gritty... Like, when they're, like... I think because, like you said, they're short stories. I really dislike it when they make it a lot... When they make it into a longer story,
mm-hmm.
they don't do it well, I guess.
I'm trying to sneeze to be as polite as I possibly can. Anyway,
but yeah, I think if they try to make it complex, fine. Mm-hmm. But if you make it too convoluted,
mm-hmm.
and you cannot go back to a certain point, and you just lose yourself. Like, where are you heading to? Where is the story at this moment? It just like it bores me to death, and it just makes me so frustrated.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of retellings that I've read are boring.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those stories, they're stuff that I've heard before, but more often than not, they're rewritten in a modern context, but nothing in the plot changes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this one book called Her Body and Other Parties by Carmen Marcia Machado.
Mm-hmm.
It was very well reviewed and stuff like that. And like, I read it, and they're basically a lot of the stories were short stories and fairy tale retellings. So I'm like, this is basically the same thing as the original story.
Except you just like changed it to like a more modern person.
Yeah. Instead of it being in a village, it's in a hotel.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like, I just didn't care for it. And it's well reviewed. I think it's well reviewed by people who like that genre.
Mm.
But for me, it's like, there's nothing about this that's pulling me.
Yeah, I do agree. Because if there's one thing, you can make a story, you can make a reader know, like, this is how the story progresses. Mm-hmm. But you have to keep the reader engaged into that story. You cannot just be like, this is it. Like, it's the same thing, but different place. That's it.
Okay. I wonder if a really good writer tries to rewrite a fairy tale, would it be as good? Because we have Neil Gaiman, for instance, mm-hmm. who is really good at it. But he writes not short stories. He writes them into novels.
Yeah.
Like the Nancy Boys and all the his other books.
Yeah, okay.
Nancy Boys is a thing that I always remember because it's from an African lore mm-hmm. and he's written into a novel in a modern context. Mm-hmm. And yes, they're gritty, but at the same time, they're very entertaining reads because he's a really good writer.
Yeah.
And I think with Neil Gaiman, he doesn't take the easy way out. Mm-hmm. He puts as much complexity as he can into the characters. And I think that's probably the problem with fairy tales because these characters are not complex. They're supposed to have a message at uh-huh. the end of them. So a lot of people are just...
A moral of the story.
Yeah, a moral of the story kind of thing. But I guess modern writers, they just take that path because it's easy. No, I'm not saying... I'm not shitting on modern writers. It's just that...
I guess it's difficult to make... To
because
not
we
make
want it. Complex stories, yeah. right?
But we don't want them to be, like, too complex that you either don't understand them or, like, if they're too simple and you're just like, what more is there? Okay. Yeah, exactly.
What else? Do you have anything else that you dislike about this genre?
I also kind of dislike it when they take fairy tale elements, mm-hmm. such as, like, if you're talking... like Western classics such as maybe Little Red Riding Hood, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. There's like there's always like an old crone or like there's like a path made of whatever and then there's a house on a hill and then I don't like it when those elements are pulled into a story and then they take you as a reader, they take you out. And you're like, why is this here?
They take you out how?
They're like, so you come into a book and mm-hmm. you're just like, okay, this happens. And then suddenly she goes into like this abandoned house on top of the hill and she lives alone and it's like 400 years old. And you're like, where does this fit in with her character and her life? And it is never explained.
Do you have an example?
Oh, I do. Yeah, sorry.
Tell me what it is.
It's called Bet Me by Jennifer Cruzy, which is a romance novel. It won a Romance Writers of America Award mm-hmm. for Best Contemporary Single in 2005. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I don't understand why. Because it had those, so basically it's this woman who just got dumped by her boyfriend because her boyfriend, because she doesn't want to have sex with him. And then she meets somebody else. And then it's basically the guy's friends make a bet that he has to take her out and stuff like that, and he'll win money, and then that's the story, and then somehow they fall in love. But somehow there's like a fairy godmother type of person there and like this friend who is just so like one-dimensional, who's like the person who's like, Tanitha is like the village person who tells you what's going to happen and stuff like that.
Like any rom-com.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's bad.
Okay.
It has fairy tale elements and I don't like it. It's bad.
But do you not like it because of the fairy tale elements, or is it just you think it's not good writing?
I think it's not good writing.
Okay.
The way they use those fairy tale elements are not good at all.
Have you read any feminist retelling of these kind of books before? Because there are a lot of them.
What counts as feminist? That's...
So, Angela Carter is someone who writes mostly on the retelling mm-hmm. of fairy tales, but she writes it in a more feminist way, in that they're gritty-ish, but it's more as a way to empower the woman. A lot of them are very sexual, and the writing is kind of amazing.
Okay.
So this is one summary that I found for her very known book called The Bloody Chamber. Mm-hmm. It reviews, Carter brings all the sex and blood and guts and rage back to Fairy Tale, and the Bloody Chamber gathers some of her best revisions together in one binding. In one story, The Tiger's Bride, Beauty turns beast due to her throbbing, hot, and heavy feels for the tiger, who with, quote, each stroke of his tongue rip off skin after successive skin, all the skins of a life in a whirl, and left behind a nascent patina of shiny hairs. Isn't that just the most beautiful writing you've ever heard?
I guess!
We're very different from each other.
Yeah, like, what is going on?
What about it? Are you confused by it?
Yeah, I guess.
Why are you confused?
I guess I'm not used to that kind of style of writing.
She's old.
Okay.
She's an old writer. She was writing in the... She lived through the 40s. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. So that kind of language. No, okay, okay.
Yeah, I read the book and I quite liked them. They're very feminist in that, because a lot of fairy tales, they're warnings against women from doing stuff.
Mm.
Like, the female anger, like, female wrath, once it's out, it's gonna be, like, the most disastrous thing in the world. And warnings against rape and stuff like that, which is what the wolf is in Little Red Riding Hood. But with her, she... kind of make these heroine in these books into their own, in that they have their own agency, they have their own needs, their own wants. They're in those situations because they want to be.
Okay, okay. Yeah. So that is what is considered a feminist
book. Yeah, she's quite popular for them. There's a few more. Like, there's one that tries to talk about gender fluidity.
Ooh, that's interesting. Okay, or
by Daniel/Mallory Ortberg, who transitioned when the book published. It's called The Merry Spinster. And I was really looking forward to reading this book, and then when I read it, I just felt I just don't understand most of it, maybe because I don't understand gender fluidity. Who knows? But the reviews of the book is very mixed. Some people like it, some people hate it.
Who likes it?
I'm not sure. I'll have a look.
Because it is, like, sort of telling of who likes
kind of book. That's probably right.
Yeah.
But the thing is that with Daniel Ortberg, he's really good at writing funny. And I was hoping the book was going to be funny, and then it wasn't. A lot of them where it takes on that gritty fairy tale retellings or tellings. And I just wasn't into it, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, some people say it's hilarious, but I don't really find a lot of it funny. I think I might have stopped halfway reading this because I just wasn't into it.
Fell flat.
Yeah. Oh, how about the ones that you love, like Spirits Abroad by Zen Cho? Do you not think that's retelling of fairy tales? I think it is. It's just a different kind of fairy tale.
I honestly only remember, at the moment, the Pontianak one.
Yeah.
Is that a fairy tale, do you think?
I guess it
would be, because the Pontianak itself is a fairy tale, because it is to warn women, I guess, and about the female wrath.
Yeah.
And to warn women of... Wait, this is... The Pontianak comes from a... The saying goes, when they die, when they give birth, right? Not when they are pregnant.
I've heard...
Right.
Kaguguran, for instance.
So is it about... warning women against rape, or warning women not to be promiscuous, or both?
No, I don't know.
Question mark.
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, there's no consensus of what the Pontianak actually does. There's no consensus of where it originates either. Because these kind of stories, if you bring them to, like, African context, there is an idea of the Pontianak there, too.
I'm sure. They're vampires, basically, in every other culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with Zen Cho's story, it's a lot more about cultural intricacies, which are kind of, in a way, fairy tales.
I do agree. Like, the Bunyan itself, how like, you kind of fall into a relationship with them, and then you...
Did she hear about Bunyan?
Hmm?
Did she write about Bunyan?
She did.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
The Bunyan was where...
I'm going to reread this book.
You cannot see the Bunyan, but you're there. But they're there. Anyway, yeah. And you kind of lose a certain amount of time when you're with them. And it's a different timeline. A different... what's it called? Plane of existence, right. I would say. So, yeah. The time you lose there is different from the time you lose here.
But I guess retelling of Asian fairy tales would continually be interesting to us because it's not a very common thing, right?
Oh, definitely.
Isn't that, like, I think that's probably part of the reason why I liked it so much. And I read a book called 1,000 Beginnings and Endings, mm-hmm. Which is about Asian fairy tale, retelling of Asian fairy tales.
Which part of Asia?
All of Asia.
Oh.
So some from Middle East, some from South Asia. And the stories in it varies in that some of them are in modern settings. I didn't like the modern setting ones very much.
Why?
Because it's written YA, and it's not the kind of YA I would read.
Okay.
Yeah, in that, I don't know. For me personally, I don't really like a lot of short stories. I think short stories does not give me time to like a character or hate a character. So with this one, I just didn't really feel like I was into it. Meanwhile, the stories of the fairy tales in, I guess, more historical times, they were not interesting to me because they were exact retellings. There's nothing about it that shifts.
About it that you don't know.
I wouldn't say that. Like, there are some stories I know. Some of them I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was, like, one story from Philippines that seems very familiar to hear. I can't remember what it was. But there were some, like, South Asian ones I've never heard before. Mm. Like, the gods and the goddesses. Mm-hmm. And some South Korea ones about mountains moving and stuff like that, which I've never heard before, which I really enjoyed. But the modern retellings, the contemporary one, I didn't really like. And some of the retellings were just, like, exact replica of what the original story is, which I didn't really care about.
I wonder if, like, the modern retellings of fairy tales, they can bore us if it's because it's less fantastical. Then if it was, like, in the historical times where you don't really know what actually happened.
I guess maybe. But maybe it is the right... I guess with a lot of fairy tales, they're not fantastical to begin with.
Are they not?
I don't think they're super fantastical. I don't know what you mean by fantastical.
Fantasy, basically.
Right. Like, as in
where they have, like, a more, like, a fantasy element to it. Where it's kind of like, this happens, and then, oh wow, this happens, and nobody blinks an eye.
Right. I'm not sure. Maybe. Let's talk about fables.
Oh, fables.
Why do you think fables, up until a point of the comics, was a really good retelling of fairy tale? Do you not think it is? Why are you making that face?
No, I don't know if it is or it isn't. That's the thing. I like it for what it is. And I like that it made, as I said earlier about, like, the complexities, it did make it make the characters a bit more complex. And I like that, up to a point in the comics.
Because at some point it got bad, right?
Yeah, it got really messy. That's, like, messy.
After Bill Willingham left writing. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, but okay.
Yeah, I talked to him. Yeah,
that's I forgot, sorry. But yeah.
Have you read the spin-offs for the...
I've read, I think, Ferris.
Yeah, Ferris were not good.
They're not good. Yeah,
because they were sexualized versions of the characters, which I found was, like, it was very male-gazy.
Yeah,
so that, I didn't true. Really care about Ferris at all.
I liked fables, like Snow White. Particularly, because I never really liked Snow White. Not that I dislike her, but, like...
You just didn't care.
Yeah, I just didn't care about Snow White at all. Like, how I would care about, like, maybe Belle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And in this, they made me care about her.
Yeah. I feel the same way about Snow White. I think her character in that series is really, really good.
Yeah.
She is super emotional. She's... What's her role? She's
the head of something. She's the head of the
community or something. I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, she's like I never really care about Snow White either, but her character in that one was just so amazing. And it also helps that her relationship with his name? The Wolf is wonderful.
It is great.
Bigby, that's what it is. I love Bigby so much. I think he's like my comic book husband.
Okay. He's so great. Who knew that I would love
Bigby? Right? Yeah, like I wouldn't, and I don't I think what I really like about this book is that every character has a redemption arc.
Even Charming.
Prince Charming in this book is a complete asshole. In these comics are complete assholes. Because all the fables or all the fairy tales that you've heard where there's a Prince Charming, it's actually just one person.
Prince Charming.
Which is Prince Charming, and he's wedded Snow White.
Yeah.
He's wedded Cinderella. Yeah. He's wedded Briar Rose. And he's a complete asshole throughout the whole thing in that he's just such a dick.
Yeah, he's such a dick.
But like,
he's a charming dick.
Yeah.
And he does get a redemption arc.
Yeah, and his redemption arc is so satisfying.
I think I cried at one point.
Me too.
I'm crying for Prince Charming. It's weird. But here we are.
Because you hate him in the beginning of the series. And then, like,
he feels like a fuckboy in the beginning.
He's a fuckboy.
I mean, if this is, like, if fuckboys had a lifespan, you know, and like if fuckboys in real life has a story arc,
you have to go through war to get rid of the fuckboy.
I wish they went through Charming's story arc.
I love it. Like, I really, really like the characters, even like characters where you felt like they're losers. This is the story where if people don't believe you, you just disappear, right?
Is it?
Or is that from a...
No, it's not.
Where is that from, then?
They exist anyway, but it's just that they're going to war. When did they go to war? I don't remember.
They went to war because someone was going to attack
their
our whole realm.
Right? Our realm? Yeah. The human realm?
The human realm, yeah.
Not their realm?
They have to go to the other realm before they come to our realm.
Oh.
I think. I don't know. It's been a while since
Then they become refugees and stuff like that.
You...
That was... It went... Too complex, too convoluted, and at one point it lost itself.
I think it lost itself when the villain came to Earth.
Totally forgot.
To our realm or whatever. Yeah, that's when I felt like I just can't read it anymore. But I really love Fables because it's so complex and it's a very thrilling read throughout the whole thing. Because sometimes you read comics and like nothing actually happens. But this one, they make you love the characters. Not just one or two characters, but like the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
Everyone has really good backstories. Bigby's really hot.
Oh, that was a main point for me.
That is actually not kidding. Yeah. Like 20-year-old me was super into Bigby.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and I think like it's good retelling because there's these complexities of these characters. Mm. Like because I for myself, I think the reason why I like reading is because I really like characters.
Yeah.
Even if the story's bad, if there's a character I can root for, character I can identify, right? I'd be super into it. I'd give it 5 stars.
maybe not that, but like...
Like, exaggeration. But if there's nothing... Like, short stories and retelling of fairy tales, I don't think they give me enough time...
To root for them?
To root for anyone. Which is why I think that like, the Pontianak story in Zencho stayed with me. Because the main character... There's so much characterization within the first few paragraphs that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to root for her.
Yeah.
But there are just some stories where you're like, okay, I know these characters, but how are they different? How are they going to pull me in?
It was, I think, for the Pontianak story in Zencho's, it was about the characters and less about, like, the story of the myth.
Yes.
I think, like, I like about... The one about the grandma as well.
Yeah
that one. What
the grandma is the Pontianak story.
No, the other one.
I don't know that.
Where she was like the jumping ghost.
I don't remember. Ooh, this.
wait, what is it? Oh no! I don't like the Bunyan story. I felt like I didn't really enjoy that story as much as I could have, or as much as I liked the Pontianak one, even though it was a very good one, because I didn't really care about the characters.
Yeah.
I'm like, who are these people? I just don't care. So they did this, but who are they?
Yeah.
That's the main point of things.
Are you willing to open up to more books in the future if we're going to read about fairy tale retellings?
I think inevitably I would pick up a book, read it, and then not realize that it's a fairy tale retelling.
I'm very easily swayed when people try to tell me it's a fairy tale retelling.
Are you? I'm not.
Yeah.
It turns me off.
Which is why I pick up Mary Spinster, and I just felt like, yeah. Because I'm like, okay, maybe this is going to be different. And more often than not, I feel like they're not different, because I think, again, there's no complexity in those characters. Mm. And it's hard to write very, very complex characters
right
in a short amount of pages.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we should do a short story next time. Just to, like, torture ourselves.
You want to talk about short stories?
No.
What? Read short story for the book club?
Read.
I hate reading
short
stories.
Same.
Yes. The only short story that I really like is what I'm reading now, Ministry of Moral Panic by Amanda Lico, which I told you to keep reading, and you're like, not now.
No, not now. It's not the right time.
Yeah. I feel like I read like 70 pages this morning.
Okay, good for you.
Yeah. So, final thoughts on fairy tale retellings. I want complex characters.
I want complex characters and satisfying storylines.
Yes. The end.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next section. Welcome to question time.
Dun, dun, dun.
Do you want to ask me first? For once?
No.
Oh, so I should ask you first?
Because I just don't remember.
Okay. Can I ask you my question then? What do you hate about reading?
What do I hate about reading? The back pain.
Back pain. What are you doing? Like, are you doing a plank when you're reading?
Because I don't like reading sitting down, so I read lying down,
mm-hmm.
and I read on my side, and you kind of like curve into yourself. What's it called? You're like a baby, like a fetus position. Fetal position. And like I read for very long hours, like 5 hours at a time in one go, and that shit takes a toll on your back. And that is all. Literally, I love reading. I don't really care. But that's it. I wish I could just, like, absorb it through osmosis.
Mm.
You know? Some days, I'm just like, my eyes are too tired. It's the physical toll of reading. You would never guess it, but yeah, it is a thing.
I still like the idea of probably being able to read when I sleep.
Yes, that's what I want. I want to be able to, like, do things while I'm reading text. Yeah. And not just, like, listening to audiobooks is fine, but I realize that I cannot really listen to audiobooks of books that I've never read before.
I can't listen to audiobooks, period.
Period?
Yeah.
You listen to podcasts, though.
Yeah, while I'm doing something else.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think... I haven't tried it in a really long time, but I don't know. Also, audiobooks are really expensive.
They are, unless you have Audible. I tried the free trial, that's why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey girl.
I never remember what the heck I was supposed to ask you.
That's why you're supposed to write it down.
That's true.
On your phone.
I know.
On your reusable book that you bought.
It's true. What genre would you never consider reading? And why, obviously?
I don't know. I have an idea. But I don't know what genre it falls under.
What is it? It could be like a trope or anything.
A trope?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I don't think much about tropes, to be honest, unlike you do.
Okay.
I don't think about tropes because I don't... I read a lot of different kind of books that I don't think about tropes. I probably would not read business advice books.
You have never read.
And I don't think I ever will.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of boring, but sometimes they're kind of interesting. You would find sometimes they're funny.
Hey, look at my face. Do I look like I care?
No.
About how funny those books are. If I want funny books, I'd read books about comedy.
Okay.
I read humor books. Have a shelf of those.
Okay.
Why? Nice. Because I just don't care about business and capitalism.
Yeah, we're not business people at all.
I don't know. Like, I've read No Logo by Naomi Wolf.
Gwen Kleinga.
Was that?
Gwen Naomi Kleinga, though.
Yeah, Naomi Wolf is someone else. Naomi Klein, yeah.
No Logo. But it's about capitalism.
It is
and not really about, like, an advisory book. It's about, like,
That's true.
A criticism of capitalism.
Very good criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I ever read business books. Like, you know, like, those self-help books, I've read some of them without realizing they're self-help books. Like, for instance, the book that we read for our book club.
But, which was not a mistake at all. It was good.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was a really good book. But I don't know. I wouldn't read... I don't see any appeal in business advice for me.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting because someone actually asked me recently, do you have this book which is about like self-help and business?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do I look like that person? Look at this person who doesn't give a shit.
Management 101, no.
Yeah. I bring like YA to the office and this person asked me if I know any business book that's good.
Okay.
I'm like, go to Goodreads. I don't know.
Okay, that's my question.
Sure, we'll go to our book club then.
We don't have an introduction for the book club.
We hate book clubs!
We hate book clubs! So the book club book for April, right? April.
March, April? I don't know.
It's April, I think.
Okay, then.
Is it? I think it's March. Oh, wait, no, April. The book club book for April is Nimona by Noelle Stevenson. It's a comic book.
It's a comic book. I know that Noor said you can find it. I probably have said it.
Online.
You can find it online, but apparently she took down most of it.
Yeah, you can read the
to
first
sell
page.
The book.
Yeah, to sell the book. Yeah. Support the book, you guys.
Yeah.
Shark
boobs.
Shark boobs, yeah, definitely. Or like, unhand me villain.
I think you can find
it. And that's science.
Okay, so Nimona is a character who can shapeshift into whatever. Without any effect, without like any, basically she defies space and gravity.
Yeah.
In that she can turn into a dragon if she wants to, and she is in real form really petite.
Mm-hmm.
At one point she turned into a shark and she has boobs.
Yeah, I think it was like really the first page.
It might have been.
I think it is the first page. Let me just, I'm going to rifle through it.
Which was really funny to me that she
the
included that in.
The art is super cool. Is this the same person who did, what's that cartoon show?
She-Ra?
No.
What?
The cartoon show with the dog and the human fin. What's it called?
Adventure Time.
Adventure Time.
No, I don't think Noelle's work in Adventure Time. Let me check.
It has a very similar look.
Yeah,
to it.
She quite likes those kind of cartoons.
Okay, so maybe it's like
but
kind of like
she's currently working at She-Ra in Princess of Power right now.
Oh, cool.
Which is really, really good. I really like it. Yeah, she's worked in Adventure Time before.
Ah.
As a
the shark boobs are on the second page.
Right. Yeah, she's worked for Adventure Time before in a Dick Comics. Yeah. Shark boobs.
Shark boobs.
Anyway, so what is the story of Nimona about?
So basically, Nimona shows up at the doorstep of a villain of this kingdom, I would say, called Ballister Blackheart. Great name. And she's like, I'm your new sidekick. The agency sent me. Who? What agency is
and
this?
He's like, what agency?
No, he says, did the agency really send you? As if there is an actual agency. And he's like, where's your paperwork? And she's like, fine, I'm not from the agency. And then he reluctantly accepts her as his sidekick. And they become this, like, family unit.
Yeah.
And it's, like, so sweet.
It's very sweet.
Oh my god, he becomes like almost like a father figure to her.
I think
say.
So. And then like throughout the end, he kept insisting that he's friends with Nimona.
Yeah.
Because Nimona has an episode, I guess, at the end where she couldn't control her powers and she was destroying the kingdom.
Mm.
And
yeah.
She's like, I don't have any friends. And he's like, but
I'm your friend.
Yeah.
Oh god. Yeah.
Do you like Nimona as a character?
Nimona as a character, she's impulsive. She's okay.
Mm.
Yeah. I like her. It's just I'm unsatisfied with the storyline. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Yeah. Do you love her? Do you like her? Do you dislike her?
I do. Yeah, I feel the same way as you. I guess we're talking about this now.
There we go.
Like, I really find her character has a lot of potential, and her backstory changes each time because apparently every time she tells her backstory of how she gets her power, she forgets.
Yeah.
Because her cells change every time she changes into a different form and then back to human.
Yeah.
But the ending I feel like I'm still not sure why Nimona wants to be a villain.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Because that's the thing I was seeking throughout the whole book. Like, why did she want to be a villain?
Why did she choose Ballister as well, right?
Yeah, she can easily be a superhero if she wants to. And then throughout the whole thing, she's, like, prodding Ballister to be an even more evil villain.
Yeah.
In that Ballister doesn't kill, but she's like, I can easily kill 10 people at one go if I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't really understand what her motive actually is.
She did kind of just, like, show up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And Ballister doesn't know why she's there, actually, but he just accepts it.
Yeah.
So that's another thing, too. I mean, I don't know. I get that it's a comic series, and if it's compacted into, like, a certain... if there's a certain limit to where...
I don't think it is, because she was doing this as a webcomic before she published it into a book. Yeah.
I don't know. Who's the... Harper Teen. So maybe Harper Teen is at fault for this. Who knows?
I'm not sure, because I'm sure she finished everything online. Because I was following it for a while, and then I didn't.
Oh, okay. So she finished it, and then she published it.
So okay. I'm not sure, like...
What happened?
But I remember throughout the whole time this was coming out, like, she was publishing it, I don't know if it was daily or weekly, a lot of people were more into Ballister's relationship with the hero.
Golden Loin.
Yeah. Is Great it Gideon? Name. Is it Gideon his name? Check the book. It's with you. First page. Not first page. Cover page at the back. Or at the back.
At the back. We are at the back. Oh, here it is.
Gideon, right?
No.
No?
It's Sir Ambrosius Golden Loin.
What is Gideon? What am I thinking? I don't know. So, yeah, like, a lot of people were shipping these two together.
But, which is fine.
And then it turns out they are in love with each other.
Just cute.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, it's cute.
It's cute. It's cute. Like, you can really tell from the beginning as well.
Yeah, they are kind of together, aren't they?
Yeah. It's nice. But, I don't know.
I feel like it was interesting because I felt like that was kind of a distraction from the whole plot of Nimona. Like, the beginning, it felt like it was a story about Nimona, but at the end, I felt like it was more of a story about Ballister than it was
definitely
about
it was about Ballister. And you find out that Ballister's not really a truly... Well, he is a villain, as in, like, he robs banks and stuff, but...
I don't know what his motive is either, what his endgame is.
His endgame was to take down the institution.
Is that it? But the thing is, right, if you take down the institution, the king is there. The king has power, which is why, like, I don't understand that motive.
There are a lot of plot holes in this story, I think.
Yeah, I think if you overthink it, there are a lot of plot holes in any story.
In a lot of ways, I think if you're doing a comic book, sometimes there are plot holes that you just... Like, they're just there. And you have no satisfactory answer to them.
But also, she published this when she was 24 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So, maybe... That might have been part of the problem. I don't know, like, too young to... I don't know. I don't want to shit on age, but...
I'm 24.
You kind of need a lot of practice before you write really good stories. Yeah, this is her, really, like, first? Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, I do like it. It's just... The ending is a bit unsatisfactory to me. I felt like there are a lot of plot holes there. And... The whole Ballister, I like Ballister as a character.
I do too.
I didn't really care about Golden Loin very much.
Yeah, he was just funny sometimes.
Yeah.
And he was, what's it called? Like a...
Very campy.
Yeah.
Yeah, very campy.
Just never understood.
Boy.
He is a boy, isn't he?
Yeah.
Ballister is a man.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, also, Ballister wants to be a villain, but is not a villain. And what's more evil is the... Heroics Institution, which is apparently, like, they have plans to maybe in the future poison its people if they go against them and stuff like that. I guess it's a story about propaganda.
I guess. I got that bit. And then, like, I don't know, the king dies, but you don't know who succeeds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what happens next?
But there's not a lot of stuff to be said about the kingdom in the beginning anyway for you to but care
who
about
who leads. I don't know. I feel it's such a weird way because they, I feel like they should have used the news anchor station thing. They could have announced like, oh, the king is dead. And then they could have like, in the epilogue, said something about the new king or something. Because it really bothered me. Like, okay, the king's dead. The institution is gone. Who governs the people?
It's anarchy.
It's anarchy everywhere. And somehow Ballister is able to open a science lab with his new friend, Dr. I forgot. I took a late Dr. Gideon. Who
knew? Is it Dr. Gideon? I don't know. No, I don't think so. I think the doctor starts with a W, but I could be wrong. I'm always wrong when it comes to these things.
Dr. Blitzmeyer.
No.
No.
Not even close yet. Okay. But anyway, do you have anything else to say about this book? I feel like it's not a lot to discuss because it's pretty straightforward. There are a lot of plot holes. It's enjoyable. I think if this was a cartoon or a show,
it'd be so much fun.
It would be so much fun because there's this one fight sequence with the institution that Demona has.
Yeah.
It was just so...
epic!
Yeah, it's so epic. The color changes of the... of her drawings were just, it went from very jolly and to like really really dark very quickly.
Yeah,
like, and it's stunning to see.
Amazing. Yeah.
I am kind of amazed that she could make something look so violent and hectic in like 3 panels,
right? It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it.
Mm-hmm.
There is this like whole page of basically worshipping Ballister's body. You know, like, you know, like in Thor Ragnarok, where he's just like somehow shirtless for no fucking reason.
When was that? Which part?
When he just wakes up.
Was it Thor? Is it the third one or like
Thor Ragnarok? Is that the third one? I think
it might
so.
Have been the second one because that happens in the second.
No, in the third one where he gets stuck on the planet. But then in all Thor movies, there's always like a scene where he's just like needlessly shirtless, and I'm like. It is needed.
But you
like...
know what? No, apparently in the second one, Chris Hemsworth was not happy at the scene where he's shirtless.
Why?
Because it was very female gazey in that scene had nothing to do with anything. He just doesn't have his top off. And he's like, I felt very uncomfortable doing that because it was not moving the plot along.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I see.
I mean, it's fine if you're Chris... I can't believe we're talking about... It's fine if you're, like, Chris Evans, the first Captain America movie, which is, i.e., the most ideal man to play that role, and, like, Hayley Atwell just start touching his boobs. Like, that pushes something along.
Yeah.
Like, their relationship, as well as the fact that he's buff now.
Yeah.
But with, like, the second one, Chris Hemsworth said he felt very uncomfortable. He had to do that scene.
In the second film.
I wonder if Ballister feels uncomfortable with that drawing.
Ballister, may we ask you? God, it was just like mostly to showcases. What is that? It's like a metal wooden arm?
Metal arm. Kind of like Bucky in the Winters.
Oh Winter my Soldier. God, is Golden Loin?
Chris Evans? Or / Captain America? I don't know.
Holy crap.
Anyway.
Yep, okay.
Anything else you want to say about this book?
Not really. I don't know. I feel like it fell short, that's for sure. Because, like, the back, it says, Nemesis, Dragons, Science, Symbolism. And it was, but it wasn't...
satisfying.
Yeah, to the extent that I wanted it to be, I guess.
Do you read a lot of webcomics that's long form?
Not a lot. I stopped following mostly because it's hard to keep up, honestly.
Yeah.
And same. It's hard to read on a screen. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I followed Check Please. It's just a hockey comic.
Oh.
For some reason. I don't know anything about hockey, but I followed.
You're full of surprises, aren't you?
Yeah. Tumblr is full of surprises. Okay. But yeah, that's it. Do you?
Yeah. Not really. Like, I followed Nemona for a while, and then, like, I got too distracted by other things to read it.
Yeah.
The reason why I chose this is because we wanted to read an easy book this month. So, yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it. I really liked it. I think it's a lot of fun book.
I really want to read something else by her.
Noelle. She has a series called Lumberjanes, which is like lumberjack girls, living in a forest.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Very, very queer, I think.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I guess watch She-Ra, Princess of Power on Netflix.
Okay.
I'm really good at this. Goodreads, please sponsor us. So tell us, what's our book for next month?
Our book club book for May is Alyssa Cole's A Princess in Theory. It is a romance. Mm. Guess what it is? It's a fairy tale retelling!
Fuck you!
It's Cinderella. Not really. No, it's not Cinderella. Is it? It's a bit like that.
I don't know. What are you asking me? I don't know anything about this.
Basically, I've already started reading this book.
Not fair.
But I've stopped. because for the past few weeks, I just haven't been able to focus. But it's great.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to enjoy it.
Okay. Well.
That's it.
See you next month, I guess.
Yeah, see you next month.
Bye.
Bye. Wait, follow us on Twitter.
Oh, right.
At Book Club Haters. And I guess now at Songket Alliance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because.
We're part of Songket Alliance again. Okay, bye.